When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, the wonders of Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. On the name of the Lord will be saved."
So can you hear me okay? I'd like to be behind there, so I might be good. Thank you so much for reading that, Jeff. Let's pray. So Father God, thank you, Jesus the servant king, thank you that you died for us. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Fire, challenge, Holy Spirit, we Merry Pentecost. How many had a Pentecost card? Pentecost fire celebration. Nobody here? No? I love it. That's okay. Thank you for the colour. Bright. It's interesting, isn't it? When we think about the kind of the main events in as Christians, what are the main events we think about? You know, I like participation. So what are we thinking of? Christmas? Anyone else? Easter. Okay, Christmas and Easter. But we have a third one. We have Pentecost. And actually, when you think about Christmas and Easter, obviously they're really important, but we don't have an active role to play. Whereas Pentecost, we absolutely do. We are required. We are required to be Christ's hands and feet. So I'm hoping by the end of this day, everything, the prayers, the worship, my speaking today, that you'll have this fresh... So, first of all, I want to share with you that I think that God's got a great sense of humour. I think he listens to us, he challenges us, and he teaches us. And the reason why I'm saying that is, cool. So my circumstances are fine, but I'm just not reading my Bible as I should be. I came to faith through music, and I'm not really listening to worship music, or hadn't been. And prayer, which is kind of something that I've found kind of really connects me to God, I just haven't been praying. So I shared in life group, so Andrew's here, Paul's here, you might remember. I shared in life group that I said, when I experience adversity, that's when I feel kind of really connected to God and I really lean into him. Be careful what you say in life group. So I said that about 9 weeks ago. Pressed a disc in my spine. And for those of you, there's a few faces going. If you've experienced it yourself, you know how absolutely awful the pain was, terrible. So you would have thought in this circumstance, I would be, you know, back on track. I've experienced something that was quite awful that I didn't turn back to God. Not that I was away from God, but I just wasn't tuned in. And I think this is where he's got the sense of humour and that he listened and that he's teaching me. So 10 days ago, I started to prepare for this. And I thought, you know, I'm not being very authentic, am I? I'm not really reading my Bible. I'm not praying. I'm not worshipping God. And then during this 10-day, amazingly, and I'm back on track. So I just wanted to say that at the beginning, because I've got a sense that maybe there's other people that feel that way. With people that you, Christians that you trust, how you're feeling, if you're feeling like, do amazing things. I love a history podcast on the beat, so what do you know? So I get new people involved, we would start with that. So absolutely, can you shout it out? Anything in silence for hours if somebody's to you. So anything about Pentecost. People speaking in strange languages. Talking with confidence, absolutely. Thank you, Peter. People understanding each other, excellent. 5 weeks after Easter. I thought it was 10 days. What does Pentecost mean? 50th day, yeah, after Passover, from Passover, 50th day. What is Pentecost? Who was saying that festival? Who said that? Jewish Harvest Festival, yes. It's an actual Jewish event. So, and it was the first fruits of the wheat harvest. So isn't that amazing planning of God? So God knew that all the Jewish people would be coming into for this festival. So yeah, absolutely. Keep going. What do we know about it? They're waiting for something. Jesus does say it's the gift of the Holy Spirit. He does, doesn't he? But he doesn't exactly. They don't know what it meant. They're waiting. Absolutely. Gathering together. They're in Jerusalem. Yeah, they had to stay in Jerusalem because of Pentecost, the existing Jewish festival. Yeah. Pardon? In the room with the doors closed. Yeah. Doors closed. We're getting nitty gritty now. What else happened? Singing and praising God. Tongues of fire. Absolutely. Yeah. Amazing. And you'd have some great stuff. I really liked when it says that when they were speaking the different languages, that some people were amazed and some people were perplexed. That's my Christian experience. I'm constantly amazed and then I'm constantly perplexed. I don't know if you're the same, but I thought that was amazing. So yeah, I think we've covered everything. What's the Anglican word for Pentecost? Come on, you older people. Know this? Will they? I bet you'll do it Sunday.
People wear white.
Absolutely. Because there's a lot of baptisms happen between the ascension of Christ or Easter and Pentecost. Yeah. And actually it makes sense of white Sunday. So there's a little bit of joy. I think what Peter was saying about Peter's transit became indwelling in the apostles. He stands up and he preaches with authority. Look at what's happening before. So what was happening before? Obviously Jesus... buried, resurrected, and then he ascends, and he promises. This blows my mind. Okay, so imagine if Jesus came in today in bodily form and spent 3 years with you, Lynn. 3 years, you'd ask him any questions, he would have, I might have enough in me to go off and do the work. But no, they needed as an indwelling in us to help us. So, yeah. So we need to look at themes that we could draw on from, but I thought we probably looked at one of three main themes that I think are relevant for us individually and as a church. The first one concerns what I think Paul was saying is periods of waiting, praying, and being together. So that's the first theme we're going to explore. The second one is about our individual differences and how God has an inclusive approach to the spread of the good. And the last theme, obviously, who is it going to be about? The main man? Pentecost? The Holy Spirit. The personhood of the Holy Spirit. We often talk about the Holy Spirit, read about the Holy Spirit, but have you really thought about who he is? What he will do for you? We're going to explore that today. So let's think about waiting. So we know Jesus told the disciples to wait in Jerusalem. I've experienced this massive change. Jesus has gone. You're told to wait. They're being very obedient, aren't they? But what was it like? Do you think they were confused? They were totally out of control. They started to do things, didn't they? They tried to work out, right, who's going to replace Judas? And it always makes me smile because they cast lots to decide it was Matthias. This is before the Holy Spirit. Think about what that would be like. Think about if we were in this room here and suddenly there was a roaring sound and then you had these flames on you. It's pretty interesting, isn't it? I think it's quite challenging. But I think what... Frightening, yeah. Absolutely. Well, that's my word. Yeah, absolutely. Interesting is my word for frightening.
Or inspiring.
But they would have been familiar with some of the aspects of the wind, lungs with his spirit, to make him came to life with God's spirit. But you're right. Absolutely, yeah. So they have theme areas. But I think what I want to focus on, have you ever waited with a group of 120 people for 10 days? What would the logistics of that be like? And we know the women there would have been doing all the organisation and the men doing everything, wouldn't they? Maybe. But I'm sure we've all said prayers and we don't know what the answer is going to be. Communally, that we need each other. So, and I know for myself, often, you know, everybody's got such a lot of praying or waiting for this. And the last time, and I've had several people come up to me saying, oh, I wonder that people are interested. But if you are in a shared life group is a good place for you. And if you are not in a life group, so there might be some logistics over it, and I totally get to, which means you're saying no to life group. Or perhaps you're feeling called to be in a prayer triplet, you know, like three of you in a prayer triplet so that you can share. I think that by staying connected to each other, we are able to learn, but also stay accountable. As we share stuff, we need to be accountable with each other about it. And I think it's easier when we're all in this together. I think somebody waiting on their own for the Holy Spirit for 10 days would have been really challenging. And I always remember our old minister, Norman Hooks, talking about the coals analogy. So talking about when you've got a fire and you've got all the coals together and it's all burning and it's all lots of energy. And then you have the single coal falling off away from the pile and how quickly it cools. So this theme is about us together corporately spending time with each other, sharing when we're waiting and expecting something, and hopefully it will build our faith together. Don't worry, there's only 6 pages. So the next theme is about our differences and how we individually, as a church, and how God regards them. So you may have heard the word inclusivity. I bet Sam has. Maybe, it's not saying. It means equal access of opportunity to people who might otherwise be excluded or marginalised. And we can see from this passage, the Holy Spirit does not erase our differences. All the different languages still exist. He enabled the followers to speak in these languages so the witnesses would understand. And that, to me, is the ultimate act of inclusivity, and that's something that our church has started to explore. Now, I've only just recently gone back to driving because of my back, so I was driving last week, and I had the joy of driving on the A34. Who loves the A34? Yay! It's amazing. So on the verge, there was all the grass and the trees and everything. And I just started to tune in on how many different colours of green there were. On the verge, on created everything green. But he's variety. I think variety. The fact that he enabled Pentecost to hear God's praise call tool, because then they go back to their home places and they can rest. But I think it stretches beyond that. God makes it easy for people to trust today. Just using overly Christian terms. And please don't understand me. There's sometimes a barrier in the world today. Even the Holy Spirit. So nothing in church. Are they a stumbling block? So I lived in Australia for a bit. And in Australia, they don't have the words for left and right. They don't have them. I think God's hand and the right hand of God. But anyway, they don't have it. Reference everything to north, south, east and west. Isn't that amazing? But how different their life will be because they don't use those words. So as we head out into the world, being Christ's hands and feet, let us be united in the celebration of our differences, different languages, ethnicities, genders, sexuality, political persuasion. And let us also be sensitive to different socioeconomic class and different life experiences that often marginalise others and make it difficult to be included. So you'll be glad that we're going on to the third and the last theme now. And this is the main man. This is the Holy Spirit. And this is the place that I learnt the most. And I really hope that I can encourage you to our soul section. So we're going to go back to our so what do you know section. So please do tell me, what do you know about the Holy Spirit? Comforter. You're going to start singing it? It's from the Messiah. Yeah, Comforter, yes. It reveals the truth. Yes, discerns. Brilliant. He, pardon? He is a helper. Yes, he's our helper. He equips. Yes, I'm using he because he's a person. He is a person. Well, it might not be a he, but we know that we're going to call him he. Let's not go down that way. But we will be here all day. Let's call him a he in that we call Jesus and God the Father he. What else do we know? Pardon? We don't have power. Lorna was going to say something. He challenges. Yeah, he does challenge, yes. He interprets our prayers. Ever present. New dimension. Oh, I like that one. Yes. He inspires. Anything else? Counselor. Yes, we could sing the Messiah now. I'm going to read the list that I put. It's not an exhaustive list, but just listen to this. So he's the third person of the Trinity. Obviously, we can't talk of the others, the Father and the Son. He's of equal importance of the Father and the Son. He is called the Spirit of God. He's eternal, which is interesting. Present and omniscient. So he's everywhere and he knows everything. That's scary. He enabled writing and instead the Holy Spirit is a person. Jesus and the Father is. This is all this evening. It's all directly from the religion. He has a will. He can be resisted and tested. He speaks. And this is the crowning thing. He makes known the presence of Jesus. All his works are designed to shine a light on Christ and to transform all of us to being more like Jesus. What an amazing list. What a truly awesome person. Do you know him? So in the context of Pentecost, we can see that the disciples undergo an amazing change, don't they? A transformation. Peter stands up and corrects those. He speaks with authority. And obviously, as we go on further into Acts, we can see that the Holy Spirit totally empowers and equips us. In the passage that Jeff read, there was a quotation from Joel about outpouring of the Holy Spirit as the young, on all people, on the sons, the daughters, the young, the old, the servants, the free. And that's, again, another example of the inclusive pouring out of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit this morning, he's calling us to faith. And he calls us to work. But he's going to equip us for the work. He helps us to pray. And he guides us and empowers us to build the church, to build this church. If you've not prayed for the gift of the Holy Spirit, then you can do that today. I'd encourage you to come up for prayer during the response. So Lynette and I will pray, and also Andrew and Paul will pray. Or if you don't want to come up, or you're not able to come up, we can come to you at the end of the service. Or if you'd like a fresh awareness of the Holy Spirit today, then again, please come for prayer. But please do cast that aside and come if you'd like to. So before we come to the end, I want to remind you of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So not the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but the fruits of the Holy Spirit. The blossoming that is evidence that Holy Spirit is in a life group. I have set some questions for this week that's based on this sermon. And there's a time to explore this together in your group. Embarrassing issue that I have that I need help with the Holy Spirit with. So if that doesn't entice you to go to a life group, I don't know what will. What I would like to do is, if you feel comfortable to, is to close your eyes in a moment whilst I read out the list of the fruit. I want you to think about and be really honest. What fruit do you think you embody? We're not talking perfect, but remember the Holy Spirit is and to contrastingly, which ones is the one, a bit like my story, which you may or may not hear, so that you need the Holy Spirit to be. Just want to close your eyes now. What I read, I embody the most, and which one do I need the help with? So these are the fruit of the Spirit. Love. Joy. Peace. Patience. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness. Self-control. So if you want to open your eyes now. So as we close, let's remember that when we wait for God to answer our prayers, we can share it with each other. We can also ask the Holy Spirit to intercede and to guide our prayers. Let's also remember that we are all different and that God has designed that and he loves that. Help us to be inclusive and ask the Holy Spirit to convict and challenge us when we stray into judgment and superiority. And finally, as we prepare for the response, thank you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere.